And so I was thinking, 2 weeks ago we were talking about John the Baptist, and it was like I was vomiting all this scripture onto you all, and it was just an amazing story that we see John the Baptist in all the Gospels and what he was doing, and he's doing this thing. He's saying, you know, repent, repent, you have to change, and people came. They came to hear it. We think that people don't want to hear the word of God, don't we? People don't want to hear what we have to say, and it's wrong, they do. It's sometimes how we present it, right? And who is presenting it? I saw it up at the union job over and over. Me and my friend, we would always talk about how church was going. And this is with men. 300 men on the job, tough men, right? I have a sticker on my car that says, Crazy Cat Lady. People come to me and say, are you the Crazy Cat Lady? I am the Crazy Cat Lady. We would put it on each other's car, me and my brother and my other friend, because we have so many cats, and we would switch her. Why is it got to be the lady that's crazy, you know? I was at Tractor Supply yesterday, buying 50 pounds of cat food and all this, the ground up gross meat that the cats outside like, you know? I want to give the outdoor cats as many calories as I can because they need it, you know? And so I take care of 10 cats, and the lady goes, you want to donate to the shelter? And I am the shelter. Sure, what do you got in the register? Send it my, give me a dig, you know? I am the charity. And so John comes, and we tell this story at Christmas time as Elizabeth is going to have a baby, and Mary goes to see her, and when Mary comes into the room, John the Baptist leaps in her belly. He's so excited, he knows who it is. It's his cousin, but he knows he's the Savior. So John is born, he goes out and he does his mission. He's telling everyone, repent, come down to the river and get baptized. He's a crazy man wearing camel hair jacket. For $3,000 at Nordstrom's. Anybody shop at Nordstrom's? Not me. Anybody? I shop at Walmart with the pajama people, right? Eating locusts, which are very expensive, and eating honey, which is very, he's bougie. But of course then he was poor, and that's all he had. And he's there, but people are coming to hear him, even the religious leaders. What's this guy all about? And eventually he's thrown in jail because he spoke out against the king. Bad idea. You don't speak out against the king, do you? Even though he married his brother's sister, right? And he named him after himself, her after himself. Can you imagine the gall? If we were to get married, Nancy, I would name you. You'd be Shauna. I'm giving you a new name. How do you like that? No more Nancy. That was better. He's the king. He made the king mad, and off you go to prison, right? He came to the dinner as a special guest. Remember that one? Not the way you want to be invited, but he came to the dinner. And so we see he has disciples. They follow him. John and Andrew and Peter knew of this John the Baptist. And Jesus would come and meet with them. So we sometimes think about the scriptures like, Jesus walks in the room, says, follow me, and everyone jumps up and follows him. Isn't it crazy? But no, that's not how it was. They're like us. We need the Wesleyan quadrilateral. Who knows what that is? I'm going to bore you. You ready to get bored? If you ever become a pastor, this is what you have to know. It's like, but it's the wrong shape, you know. It says we believe in four things, you know, hence the shape of the box, right? We believe in scripture, right, Ann? And we believe in reason. That we read the scripture and we use our own brains and we have experience. And we believe in our traditions. So, but these four things, this is what our faith is based on. But of course, Don Thorson says, you guys remember Don Thorson's book? No? I read like 5 chapters and then I was done for my class. Never be picked up. He calls it a tetrahedron. You know what that is? It's a triangle with 3 sides. And the base of it is scripture. It's not all sides aren't equal. Scripture is most important, isn't it? Our reason and our experience and our traditions pale in comparison to what the Bible says. And so, where was I going with this? I don't know. I do this all the time. So, the disciples are there and they're following John, but then John says, there's the Lamb of God, you gotta follow him. Don't follow me. I can't even tie his shoes. You got to follow this one. So they kind of know who Jesus is. But they go back to what they're doing because they got to earn some money, don't they? It says in Matthew, as Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he saw 2 brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. And they were casting a net into the lake because they were fishermen. Jesus says, come and follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. They dropped their nets and they followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James and John, the son of Zebedee. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets, and Jesus called to them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? Who would do that? Just leave your dad hanging? He's there working? See ya. Bye, we're gone. Luke 5 says, one day Jesus was standing on the Lake of Genesaret, which is another name for the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias. The people were crowding around him. They were listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one that belongs to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little boat from shore, a little ways from shore. And he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. We had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out in the deep water and let the nets down for a catch. Simon said, Master, we've worked all night long. They used to fish at night back then, where the game warden couldn't see him, right? And haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came, they filled both boats with so much fish that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knee and he said, get away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John. They were there, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to him, don't be afraid, for now you will fish for people. So they left everything and they followed him. John 1. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. This is John the Baptist. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them and he asked, what do you want? Rabbi, they said, where are you staying? Come, he said, and you will see. So they went there and they saw where he was staying. They spent the day with them. It was about 4 in the afternoon. So we see him meeting Jesus before they decide to join. This is all done. It just wasn't a miracle that he saw them and called them. They knew who he was. They listened to him speak. Sometimes we look in the Bible and it's like, I'm without reason, without experience, without scripture, without tradition, I should just follow Jesus for no good reason because he said to. And I don't believe that. I need it to be proven. And it is. I need it, and it is. And so he says, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was the one who heard what John had said. He had followed Jesus. Andrew's the first disciple. Did you know that? We always think it's Peter, don't we? And it was on Jeopardy, and I got it wrong. Man, it was Final Jeopardy, and I would have lost all my money had it been real. When I play the game of Jeopardy, I follow along. I only count my doubt when I get the answers right. If I get them wrong, I don't take it off my total. I could be negative 600, because I answer every question. And he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas from now on. You will be called Peter. He gives him a new name. Not like Herod did to his wife, but he gives him a new name. Like he did with Jacob, you're now Israel. Abram, you're Abraham. Sarai, you're now Sarah. I'm giving you a new name. He even said, you're going to name my son Jesus. You're going to name Zechariah, you're going to name your son John. Because you belong to me. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee, right? Because he's going up there for that wedding in Cana, right in chapter 2. And finding Philip, he said, follow me. Here's Mark's version of the story. After John was put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and they followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. He called them too, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, and they followed him. 4 different versions, right up different angles. And we say, that's a contradiction. Is it? They all kind of lead to the same story. Mom and I had this argument. Someone stole our chainsaw. We left it in the back of the pickup when we went, okay, this is how old I am, Robbie. We went to the Elkton Theater down there on Main Street where the police station? They still have the ticket booth there. Remember the Simpsons owned it? That was a fun place to go. I saw the same, he works over at Chevy now, the older brother. So the other one works for the town. We used to go to the Elkton Cinema. Anyone, who's that old? You're nodding your head. Yeah, we all went there. We never paid. Mr. Simpson never charged us. I don't know how they made any money there. No wonder they went out of business. We got in free. Popcorn you had to pay for. So we left the chainsaw in the back of the truck, and the honest people Elkton took it. And boy, it was hard to come by back in the 80s there, right? The chainsaw. And so my mom's like, well, you were at Kmart when it got stolen. I said, no, Mom, we were at the movie theater. She goes, no, you were at Kmart. And the story went on for years because the story was how irresponsible me and my brother were. Remember that time you left the chainsaw and got stolen at Kmart? Well, that's true. The point is, it got stolen, right? It doesn't matter where. See this story? They knew, and John said they knew who he was. They knew who Jesus was. And John was pointing to him. And so when it came time for Jesus to go up to their hometown, and says, follow me now. It's time. I'm ready. He's a teacher. We go to school and we pay teachers, right? We seek them out. But Jesus does not. He seeks them out. He comes to them. The teacher goes to the students and he picks these people. And they're just common fishermen, right? They're not educated. I'm super educated. I had a great public school education. I'm not pandering. I love Cecil County Public Schools. The teachers there, we all went, right? We're doing okay, right? Eli's the exception. Now you're doing great. Look at us. We love Cecil County. Look at the teachers we know and how great they were. We'll never forget Miss Craven. She actually took kids to France. That woman was crazy. Mr. Rich took eighth graders to New York City. Guess how many chaperones for 30 kids? Two. You ever go to a youth rally with Christians? 500 adults for the 7 kids that go, right, Amanda? we make this huddle around them. So they might actually go off and try to make out with somebody, you know? So we take them, they're coming back here. Mr. Ritz took him, the nurse, and 30 kids to New York City. Never had it for like 40 years. So we go to teachers, but Jesus comes to these fishers of men, these people without educations. Not that they're dumb, they do know scripture. Maybe they can't read. We know Jesus can read. Only one out of like 30 people could read back in those days. But Jesus could read, right? We see in Luke 4, he walks into the synagogue and he opens up the scrolls and he starts to read from Isaiah 61. He can read, that's pretty cool. Because most of them couldn't. And these fishermen, they knew the scripture. And he tells them this. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind, everything you got. You got a nice business here. Give it up. Follow me. We're going to preach to people. I was blessed that my cousin asked me to officiate for her father. The other cousin didn't know I was a pastor. And so I gave up a lot to become a pastor. And this isn't a feel sorry for me. This is a feel where I belong. And so I sit there in front of those people and they, whether someone believes or someone doesn't believe, they get the same story every time. They're going to hear about the resurrection, whether you accept them or not. And this is what I was made to do. And it's scary getting in front of a room of people you don't know. And I don't have that much courage. I'm scared right now. That's why I keep telling these stupid stories to distract myself. You make me nervous, all of you, but it's not me. I don't care. God says we're going to talk about the resurrection. We need fishers of men. We need men to give up everything they have and trust in what they're going to do. Rely on people. Rely on Mary Magdalene to pay the bills. Relying on the women. That's what I do. I rely on Amanda. She's doing great. She works at J.P. Morgan. Record profits again, you know? And they gave all the money to her. And she hides it from me because I'll spend it all. I had $400 in my account and I bought, guess what I did with it? I bought a $200 pair of shoes. It was on Friday. I did. They're waterproof, American made, okay. Keens. They sell two types. They list them. These are the American made ones and these are the not American made. So I get the American, I'm a patriot. And you pay more. But they're made in America. That's where I'm from. He picks fishermen, not shepherds. Shepherds gather the flock and nurture them. What's a fisherman do? He takes a hook and he sticks it in the fish's mouth and he drags it out. He changes their lives, doesn't he? Jeremiah 16. However, the days are coming, the Lord says, when I will no longer, it will no longer be said, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought up the Israelites out of Egypt. But it will be said this, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites up out of the land of the north and out of all the countries where he had banished them, I will restore them to the land I gave them. But now I will send many fishermen, and they will catch them. And after that I'll send the hunters, and they will hunt them down on every mountain and all the hills and the crevices, and bring them back to me. Ezekiel 29, he says, I will put hooks in your mouth and make fish of the stream stick to your scales. I will pull you out. Fishers of men are going to do some real work, aren't they? This is not fuzzy in its color. They're going to be in your face. They're going to go town to town. They're going to preach the word. From the book of Habakkuk, I once saw a quote that said Habakkuk. I said, is that even in the Bible? Is that even real? It was one of those big posters, you know? Habakkuk, verse, you know, chapter 4. That's not even, I think someone's making it up. I looked in the Bible, I was embarrassed. I almost told somebody I didn't believe it. Then I read the Bible, it was in there. You guys know Habakkuk? It's one of those minor prophets, you know, past the Psalms. You know, the Psalms is the middle, and you go that way. Habakkuk is there. And he says, Lord, are you not everlasting, my God, my Holy One? You will never die. You, Lord, have appointed them to execute judgment. You are my rock. You have ordained them to be punished. And you have made people like fish in the sea, like the sea creatures that have no ruler. The wicked foe pulls them up with hooks. He catches them in his nets, and he gathers them with his dragnet, and he rejoices. He sacrifices to the net and burns incense for his dragnet. For by his net he lives in luxury and enjoys the choicest food. Is he to keep emptying his net, destroying nations without mercy? And that's the false prophet, isn't it? That's the other type of person who's telling us what to do. Putting that hook in our mouth and dragging us out and taking, abusing us. But it's tough to follow Jesus in this world. Because Jesus says some uncomfortable things, doesn't he? You want to hear something real uncomfortable? Here it comes. Uh-oh, I'm talking about money now, Chuck. This is the one everyone's going to look at their shoes. No, just kidding. You won't do that. Hear what he says in Mark chapter 10. We'll finish with this story. You know this. You've heard this. It's the rich and the kingdom of God. And you know we're all rich, right? You can drive around town. Jim Jones once told us, he says, you think you're poor? And everyone says, yeah, well, we're not that doing that. We're kind of poor. Jim goes, he sets this up. You think you're poor? Yeah, yeah. You ain't seen poor. Jim Jones said, I went to a house the other day. They had a dirt floor in the kitchen. Anyone got a dirt floor? It's a dirt floor in the kitchen. You're not poor. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and bows down before him. And he says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Boy, Jesus, he's kind of being a wise guy here. He says, why do you call me good? Jesus says it's not good. No one is good, he says, except God. He says, you know the commandments. You guys want to have eternal life? Do the good things, right? Keep the commandments. Keep his rule. Don't murder people. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't give false testimony. Don't defraud. Honor your mother and father. You know these rules, right? Teacher, he says, I've kept these things ever since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and what's it say? He loved him. He's looking at this person who wants to know the key to eternal life. How do I get it? I keep the rules. I keep your commandments. I've seen I read the book of Leviticus, and there they are. And Jesus says, you're missing something. One thing you're missing, he says. He says, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And you'll have treasure in heaven. and then follow me. We all groan at that, don't we? How can I possibly follow? How can I do that? I got a nice truck. You see it out there? Red. I got nice clothes. I live in a nice little house. I got a freezer full of beef. I got everything. I got a good home. I can afford to give my cat 2 days in the hospital. I said, cat, in the hospital. That is not, I can stay at the Ritz-Carlton for a month. What a cat in the hospital is. I won't even tell you what it is. It's embarrassing. And it's what we do, right? Give it all away, he says. Can we do that? We're going to give everything, going to give your Corvette away? I'm not picking on you. Oh, no. Jesus don't need a Corvette. What would Jesus drive? A school bus, because he needs all them disciples, right? What are you going to give up? This is hard. He says, follow me. Leave it all behind. And we say, no. I'll give most of it. I'll give some of it. But I still want eternal life. When John and John were on their deathbeds and they had their beautiful homes, and did they need any of it? They needed eternal life and they got it. They surrendered to Jesus, and we heard it with their lips, and God knows it in their hearts. And so we rejoice at that. It's hard. It's hard to follow Jesus. How hard it is. Peter says, we gave up everything for you. And Jesus says, you'll be rewarded 100 times. Amen to that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It's the word that we trust. We trust in you, and yet we need to show it. But you know it's hard for us. We look at this rich ruler and we say, oh, he couldn't do it. Well, we give it all to you, Lord. We trust you. And may we show it with our sharing of the word with those who are broken. By going to people's houses and seeing them when they are shut in, they can't get out. When we see a need, we see a friend who needs an arm put around them. Put us where we need to be, Lord, each and every day. As we leave this church, may we be a blessing to others, as you have blessed us. Let's follow the Lord. It's not easy. We are a grateful people that we have a chance to be in the house of the Lord on this beautiful Sunday, to be where it's warm and the beautiful music is sung and the word is shared. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, as we leave here today, go in peace and go in love. Amen.